Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Paying for college shouldn't be the hardest part of higher education. Hi, it's Rena Ninen, co-host of the Ask Lisa podcast. I recently spoke with U.S. Education Secretary Miguel Cardona about FAFSA, the free application for student aid. Did you know you can apply for financial aid today? And you'll get a response within 1 to 3 days. Check out our show notes to the link for the full interview on our Ask Lisa podcast YouTube channel. Don't forget to subscribe for the latest videos from Lisa and me. That's the Ask Lisa podcast YouTube channel. This is Ask Lisa, a podcast to help people understand the psychology of parenting now in the midst of a pandemic. Psychologist Dr. Lisa DeMore, author of 2 New York Times best-selling parenting books, takes your questions. And I'm co-host Rena Ninen, a journalist and mom of 2. Some of what we talk about comes from raising children ourselves. Most of the time, I'll be getting answers to your parenting questions. So send your questions to AskLisa at drlisademore.com. In this episode, we talk about helping kids stay active and eat well. So I went golfing this week.
You did?
I haven't golfed in 20 years. And it was a clinic. It was me and my girlfriend, Jofi, and about a dozen men over the age of 62 who have golfed for 2 decades, essentially. And we get there and they say, pull out your wedge and pull out the putter. And we're looking at the golf bag. We have no clue which one's the wedge and which one's the putter.
Oh, man. Golf is having its moment, I think, as one of the very few socially distanced things that works really well.
I'm determined to learn how to play. I've signed the kids up as well to learn how to play. And it got me thinking because, you know, winter, unfortunately, is coming. And we're stuck in the house. You don't get a lot of opportunities out. And it got me thinking, how do you get kids active, stay active? And as I was thinking about this, I was reading through some of the questions that we're already getting in. And one listener sent this question. I want to pose it to you. It says, I have a lovely tween girl who just turned 12. She used to be quite active in dance and basketball, but since the pandemic, she's resisted participating in any meaningful physical activity. She rolls her eyes at bike rides or walks. And when I mention that she needs to get up and move for the good of her heart and her mind, she reacts as though we're implying that she's fat or ugly. But we just put in a new pool, and she even resists swimming much of the time. I'm a mom who never complains or talks about my own body. And when I exercise, I'm careful to frame it around health and longevity, not beauty. I just want her to be happy and healthy. I certainly don't want her feeling like we want her to physically change appearance. What can we do?
Oh, man, this is a great question. And it's got so many layers and so much detail to it. I'm really grateful to the listener who sent this in, both because it's a critically important question. And I also know it's a question a lot of parents have right now about how they help kids be active, but not make the whole thing weird, yeah. Which is really hard to do.
I mean, how do you get kids to be active if they don't want to be active?
It's difficult because they've lost all of the normal activity a lot of their lives, you know, the going places. And I think as adults have too, you know, where we used to drive places and then you walk across the parking lot or you're at your office and you're trucking up and down the hall. So there's been such a disruption to the normal course of events and the ways that we're active. And people feel kind of down, and people may not feel like they've got good access to the kinds of ways they used to be active. So it's a bit of a setup for families. And this mom you know, it's so thoughtful the way she asks, in that she mentions that she doesn't make it about weight or food or appearance, and is really trying to get at the idea that this is part of being healthy and part of what we need to do. And she runs smack into a 12-year-old, and this is what makes 12-year-olds awesome and also complicated, who's like, "You're making it about my body and my looks." And so then this poor mother feels stuck because this 12-year-old has found a very effective way to reframe the conversation so that her mother feels that she can't press it forward. And that's a tough thing.
What really, I love how the mom says she doesn't make it about her own body. She's careful about phrasing it that way. But what happens? Like every day I take at least a couple walks a day. It really clears my mind. Something as basic as walking. Why is that physical activity so important for the mind?
Oh man, it's a good one. I think that there's something really powerful that occurs when we move. I know it sounds so basic, but that idea of moving, and the way I go at it is, we are fundamentally designed to move. Humans are not designed to stay in place. And part of the challenge for us and our kids in the context of this pandemic is how much more hemmed in we all feel.
Yeah.
And so we need to move. And so then to get to this question that you asked, and that, you know, on behalf of this mom and with this mom about, so what does she say to her kid? And how do they get out of this impasse where the mom's like, you need to move, and the kid's like, you're making it about my appearance, and the mom feels stuck? One way to get out of that impasse is for the parent to say, look, you got to move. It's part of being human. You got to eat. You got to sleep. You got to move. You got to go to the bathroom. Like, these are just, you know, that comes with the territory. But how you move, I'm willing to negotiate. So I'm not going to tell you, you got to get in the pool. I'm not going to tell you, you got to come do workouts with me. But you moving is the non-negotiable. So come up with how you're going to move, run some options by me, and we'll come to something that makes sense to both of us.
Why is that so important? Like, I told the kids, you guys are golfing this semester. Like, that's what we're doing. And they kicked and screamed. They're not into it. Why is it so important to give them that out?
Because they're kids, and especially if they're teenagers, they do not like to be told what to do. And you can get away with this. This is actually a really funny thing in development. You can usually get away with this until about age 10. Huh. Like, the nice thing about kids under the age of 10 usually is if you're like, go do this, and they're like, I don't want to. And then you're like, go do this or I'll get mad. They're like, okay, fine. and then
I didn't know that.
It's how it goes. And then at 11, almost literally, it feels like to some parents, overnight, kids move into adolescence, which is often earlier than people expect. People think, oh, teenager, I've got until they're 13. No, no, no. Adolescence begins at 11. It has always begun at 11. I want to get, you know, airplanes and fly banners behind the airplanes. Adolescence begins at 11. And so what happens is they go into their room, they have a night's sleep, and they wake up the next morning, they're an adolescent. This is really what it feels like. And the parent says, go do this. And the teenager's like, I don't want to. And the parent's like, go do it or I'll get mad. And the kid's like, well, now I'm definitely not doing it. So it's just what happened. So we have to change tactics in those moments.
So if you, like, so my kids right now are 8 and 9, right? So we're nearing that phase. Are there things you can do at an early stage, or even if your kids are 15 and 16, that can pivot the conversation to sort of get them to understand where you're coming from? Is it giving them those outs?
I think it is saying, look, there are things that have to happen here, but I'll let you script how they happen. And then you actually have to tolerate what they choose. I can tell you right now, a lot of the activity kids are getting are TikTok dances. And that's activity. They are up, they are moving, they are wiggling their bodies, they're doing it repeatedly. And the challenge for grownups is to appreciate that counts, right? If you're letting your kid have TikTok, TikTok dances may be the way they are getting physical activity, and we have to respect that.
Do you have a TikTok account?
I do not.
I would love to see you do a TikTok dance.
Oh,
well. And put that up on our Instagram account.
Would that be hysterical?
That would be great. The Ask Lisa podcast account.
But, plus, you know, TikTok.
as much as TikTok is in the news for so many things, right? I never thought of it as being great for the kids because they're dancing. on the app.
It's kind of funny, right, to think about it in that
crazy.
Way. But they are moving, they are wiggling their bodies, and there's some new way that they do it every other week, some wild new dance that they are trying to replicate, which is often pretty funny to watch them do.
Yeah. So what would your advice be for this mom then, you know, giving her the out to tell her daughter what to do, you know, let her daughter choose the physical activity, but then what?
Well, so what we're moving into here is the transition into school. And with that, the day is going to, I think for some kids, become even more sedentary. And for some kids, it may become a little bit more active, you know, depending on whether they're going to school in person or if they're doing it remotely or some hybrid. I think that for all parents, the transition into the new pattern of the day also gives an opportunity to reboot how time is spent and what kids are doing physically. So the first thing the mom can do is say, look, this is a non-negotiable, but I will negotiate with you about how you're active. But now we're in a moment, too, where the patterns of the day are changing. And so maybe some possibilities open up.
Yeah. You know, this reminds me of, I loved, by the way, your column in the New York Times last week that talks about your adolescent column, which you do monthly for the New York Times. It was titled something like the 2020 Back to School List for Teens' Emotional Well-Being.
Yeah.
And you talk about the importance of routines, which coincidentally, a couple weeks ago, we were talking. You're like, oh, I'm starting my routine. I want to get everybody into their routines. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I won't even get into routine until like 2 weeks after the school year. But why is that so important, Lisa, to establish those routines?
Well, it's funny because I have become actually sort of obsessed with routines this summer. This has become a very central focus of my thinking, quite to my surprise, that in some ways I think like, it's kind of a, you know, it's a topic that's been around for a while. But something about the pandemic and the total disruption of our normal routines has made me really interested in the routines that we establish in the absence of what we had before. And so in that column, one of the things I recommend that teenagers and really everybody really needs is to take seriously what their routines are. But what's tricky, where people get stuck, is that usually when we say routines, what people imagine are like these rigid taskmasters of where your time is supposed to go. And what I've started to really think about is, okay, our routine reflects our priorities. It reflects where we're putting our time. And if we're giving something time, it means that we've made it a priority, whether we're conscious of it or not. And so let's build the priorities into the routines. So, for instance, this mom wants her kiddo to be active. She herself is active. And so that needs to then be routinized. So part of where they could pivot this is to say, okay, school is starting. And you're going to school, so you'll be walking to school, so good, there's activity in your routine. Or you're not going to school, so you're going to be home sitting on your buns all day. We need to build activity into your routine. So the two things can come together, and schedules can be made that account for things that need to happen, like sleep and routines and seeing friends safely, all of that. But that's where the opening comes to reboot this conversation.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back on the Ask Lisa podcast. With Mother's Day coming up, I want to take a quick moment to appreciate not only the moms, but anyone who's taken on the role of caregiver. You do everything for everyone else. Now it's time to do something for you, starting with your skin. OneSkin has a simple, scientifically validated routine that keeps your skin looking and feeling younger. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's really the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that causes lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. I've been using their product for the past few months, and I'm hooked. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using the code ASKLISA at oneskin.co. That's 15% off of oneskin.co with the code ASKLISA. After you purchase, be sure to tell them that you heard about them from us. We hope you'll support the show and tell them we sent you.
Hey, Ask Lisa listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by Lolavie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston.
Lola V is Jen's vegan and cruelty-free hair care line that is suitable for hair of all types and textures. And in fact, my whole family has converted over to using it. Me, my 13-year-old daughter, we're sending it to my kid at college, and my husband, who has graying hair that is not as soft as it used to be. What we love about Lola V is that it leaves our hair so soft, and it also smells so good. Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair now at lolav.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use the code ASKLISA at checkout. That's 15% off your order at lolavie.com with promo code ASKLISA. Please note that you can only use one promo code per order and discounts cannot be combined. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Your hair will thank you.
Stitch Fix sends style so good, you can feel it. They deliver all the confidence that comes from a truly amazing outfit without any of the work. You don't have to get into your car. You don't have to go through hangers and figure out what section to find what you're looking for. It's so simple. What my stylist does is they take my wardrobe to the next level. She shows me what works for me. She helps me discover new things that I like that I wouldn't have picked up if I was browsing online or even walking through a store. As the seasons change, you want different things. And when there are big events in your life that you want to dress up for, Stitch Fix has you covered. And I also love that I've got everyday staples from Stitch Fix that feel good on that I am constantly reaching for in my wardrobe. Style that makes you feel as good as you look. You can get started today at stitchfix.com/AskLisa. That's stitchfix.com/AskLisa. stitchfix.com/AskLisa.
Welcome back to the Ask Lisa podcast. Why are routines so important? Is it because like everything right now is just completely out of our control and it gives you a sense of control? Like why do you feel that so strongly about having routines?
Well, that's part of it, right? That everything got just thrown into a blender. And at some level, we need to actually take control back. So that's one piece of it. Another is that our old routines actually met a lot of needs that we didn't think about. So if your kid walked to and from school, the old routine put in a lot of activity. And I think for a lot of adults, our old routines are places where we saw friends or had sort of, you know, casual connections with people, like someone at the office we said hello to or somebody at the coffee shop. My old routine gave me a lot more time alone. When I was traveling, I'd have more privacy and time alone. And I've had to work in creating new routines to sort of create some space for myself because I took for granted, you know, how my old routine built in all these things that I needed. You know what I mean. Like your routine has changed very dramatically.
Yeah. And I think you're also taking on, like, I wasn't cooking 3 meals a day for everybody, you know, worried about what to get them fed, you know, 7 days a week, 3 meals a day. You know, but it actually got me thinking also, Lisa, about food. Because that is now also part of our routines, you know, trying to talk to, I know this listener didn't mention food, but, you know, talking to our kids about food, I can tell you just personally, my sugar intake has risen astronomically during this pandemic. Yeah. If you want me to give away state secrets, just wave Pepperidge Farm Mint Milanos. You don't have to starve me. You don't have to torture me. You will get them out. Like that has been my guilty pleasure. And I have decided, I know no one's said this, but I feel with the start of school, we are now phase 2 in this pandemic. And that's what I'm calling it, phase 2. Mm-hmm. We need to hit the reset button. We need to figure out our activities, routines, and eating has been one of them. You know, trying to figure out meals that are not going to take me all day to cook, but I still want them to eat healthy. How do I talk to them, for instance, about sugar intake? Like, what's the conversation we need to have with them about food?
Oh, man, this is so big and so important. And I think in most homes, we are around food all day. Our kids are around food all day. We're watching our kids eat. They're watching us eat. I mean, this has become very loaded in a lot of families. And I want to get to that. But it's funny. I did not know that about you and Mint Milanos.
I love them. Addicted.
Well, yeah. It's funny. So I've actually improved the quality of the cookies I bring home since the pandemic began. And I'll say to my daughters, I'm like, you want to know why we have nice cookies? Because we're in a pandemic. And so I brought home Mint Milanos, which is not something I've usually bought.
And so my younger daughter, who's 9, is actually hysterically funny. And she can make a mockery out of anything. Like, that's our she recognizes this as being true of herself and enjoys this. And so I had the Mint Milanos. And I remember she was reading the back of the Mint Milano bag. And she's like, mint cream between two delightful wafers. Like, she was reading it in this really funny way. And I was like, yep, you can make a mockery out of anything, even the good cookies I bring home. So that's how we're getting through the pandemic, is my hilarious kiddos.
Your kids.
They're fun, and they're
funny.
Yeah,
they are.
So now we have Mint Milanos, and we have Tate's chocolate chip cookies, and now we've discovered that Tate's with white chocolate and macadamia nuts. I mean, like, we are really bringing our A game on the cookies. So what do we do about that? Because now we have cookies all over the house. This is really, I think, one of the more delicate aspects of parenting, is how we talk with kids about food and weight and sugar. And then you know that some of my long-form work is around girls. And I know that parents feel like it's complicated with kids. And then when they get to their daughters, how to engage conversations around healthy eating or avoidance of foods that are not healthy feel really, really delicate at best. So one way to walk up to this, I would encourage parents for themselves and their kids to not try to restrict food categories, to not ever refer to certain foods as bad or junk foods. And I know a lot of families do this and it doesn't turn out to be a problem. As some of my work has moved up against the eating disorders world at times, and I've cared for kids with eating disorders. And all of my colleagues in the eating disorders world really avoid value judgments around food, because kids can kind of latch on to that, and some kids will take that way too far and start to become very, very rigid and only eat what they consider to be good or healthy foods. And that's a good thing if done in moderation, but it can sometimes set kids down a path where they then restrict and then start restricting and restricting and restricting and end up moving into the eating disorder universe, which is not a universe you want your kiddo to dip a toe in.
Yeah.
So I love and have always loved what Sesame Street did with this, which is they came up with this idea of sometimes foods and anytime foods.
Oh.
And it's perfect, I think. So anytime foods are basically foods that are not processed. So, you know, chicken breasts and fruits and vegetables and things that have 5 ingredients or fewer and didn't come out of a factory, you know, that's anytime foods. And you can basically eat them anytime and not worry about your health and, in fact, know that you're getting a lot of nourishment. Sometimes foods are everything else. So processed foods. And that is a really nice, neutral way to talk about food with kids without starting to lay down lines of good, bad, or healthy, unhealthy. It's a useful strategy.
That's so interesting. So you essentially don't say, okay, don't touch the Oreos. They're awful. They're full of dyes, or, you know, whatever the foods are that you think are not good. You're saying just make them aware, but don't ban them or put negative connotation around it?
Don't. And I think if kids say, well, why is it a sometimes food?
Yeah.
The language I find really useful is to say they're kind of hard on our bodies. Like, they taste really good, but they're sort of hard on your body. Your body is made to accommodate it, and your body can filter out what's in there. So you should enjoy them. But they're a little rough on your body. And so part of taking care of ourselves is to try to bend ourselves or spend more time eating the foods that actually help our body feel better, as opposed to our body needing to manage that food.
What if you're in the situation where your sometime food turns into your anytime food, and particularly with sweets? Because, you know, that happens quite a bit with kids especially, right? And adults too.
It does. And I mean, they taste so good.
Yes,
the reason
they
I like sugar is that it tastes so good.
And they provide comfort for some people.
They do. And people are bored and they got time on their hands. And we don't feel happy because things are kind of crummy right now. And so, you know, cookies and all of the stuff like them are more appealing than ever. So what I would say is that we want to be cautious about restricting it, because the other thing on restricting stuff is I've seen kids then
figure out how to sneak it. And then yes. you get into that, and that's not so fun. But a way to neutralize it a bit, if you have a kid who you feel is going to town on sweets, and it's gone too far, it's gone beyond the sometimes and is well into the anytime. One way that I like to do this is to say, look, your dad and I, or your other parent and I, we don't eat a lot of sweets. And we don't eat a lot of sweets. We enjoy them, but we don't eat a lot of sweets because they are hard on our body. And we really want to take good care of ourselves. And so we're going to ask you to not eat a lot of sweets for the same reason. And if we're not eating a lot of sweets because it's not good for us, and we let you go to town on the sweets, that would be like we got in the car and we put on our seatbelt, but we didn't ask you to put on yours. And that neutralizes it, and that gets it to a place where kids are like, oh, I can hear my stomach grumbling. That takes it out of a disagreement between the parent and child and turns it into the much more sort of matter-of-fact quality that we're here to take care of ourselves. And we take care of ourselves, and we take care of you, and we're going to ask you to take care of yourself also.
I think this is such a tricky conversation to have. And, you know, for me, I truly, at the end of the day, I do enjoy a little piece of dark chocolate, like 80% or higher. And the kids notice that. I think it's better than tequila every night.
Definitely. I'm just going to weigh right in on that. Yes, definitely a little bit of dark chocolate is better than tequila every night.
But what do you think, if there's one thing about food that parents should really be mindful of over the course of this fall and winter, what would you say they should really focus on?
I actually would love for us to take this moment when we're all around the house and watching each other eat and have access to food all the time to help kids increasingly appreciate that their body has a regulatory system for knowing when and how much to eat. Because sometimes kids will be like, I'm bored, should I eat? And what I always like to have parents say to their child is, well, are you hungry? Okay, now my stomach is actually grumbling. I don't know if you can hear that. I think this conversation is making me hungry.
I think when you talk about Mint Milanos a lot, everybody's stomach grumbles.
But I love for parents to say, are you hungry? That's actually a great question for kids to be asking themselves if they're going to eat. And if the kid says, yeah, I'm hungry, but how much should I have, right? Then we say something like, well, how hungry are you? And I think sometimes kids can get caught on this idea of like, it's mealtime, or I need a portion size, or this makes me really nervous from the clinical standpoint, worrying about calories. Yeah. I never like for anybody to be worrying about calories. And so the way that we can just redirect them all the time is to say, look, eat when you're hungry, stop when you feel full. Your body lets you know. Your body has a system by which it alerts you to what you need. Follow your system. And that can be something that in the comparative quiet that we have in the pandemic, the time together, the ability to eat when hungry, that actually might be a nice thing in the pandemic, is that we're not so locked into times where it's lunch, so everybody stops and you eat whether you're hungry or not. That may be something we can actually make good in this.
Yeah, I feel like so much revolves around food when you're stuck at home and everybody's hungry all the time. But, you know, these are the good things to remember and good tips to have going forward.
Yeah, and I think the bottom line on this is food is part of how we take care of ourselves, and it's part of how our kids take care of themselves. And rather than treating it as an enemy or something that needs to be regulated, I think we're all better off if we just let it be that. Part of how we take care of ourselves, sometimes by enjoying some treats, and the rest of the time by eating anytime foods.
Thank you, Sesame Street.
Yes.
That was great. I have to look that up. That's really great.
And thank you, Cookie Monster.
Cookie Monster. So, Lisa, what is your parenting to go this week?
My parenting to go this week is that there are some power struggles we can get into with kids where the kid actually has all the power, and we want to stay clear of those as parents. Food is one of them. Other things are like homework or sleep. And in all of those, rather than trying to make our kid do what we want them to do, we always want to frame those moments, those times, as where we are supporting them as they learn to take good care of themselves and take care of the things they need to do.
Thanks for joining us, and be sure to subscribe to the Ask Lisa podcast so you get the episodes just as soon as they drop. And send us your questions to asklisa@drlisademore.com. And now a word from our lawyers. The advice provided on this podcast does not constitute or serve as a substitute for professional psychological treatment, therapy, or other types of professional advice or intervention. If you have concerns about your child's well-being, consult a physician or mental health professional. And if you're looking for additional resources, check out Lisa's website at drlisademore.com. We'll see you next week.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.